Can you all hear me? I'm not really good with using these speakers, so if I talk too quiet, just let me know at the back of the room. Okay, I'm going to give you your yearly APNIC policy update, but I'm going to give you a little bit more of what's going on within APNIC as well. So we're going to cover some numbers, some service updates that's been happening, along with some policy news. So here on the screen you can see as of November, 27th of November last year, we've got some stats up on the screen of the number of resources which have been delegated within the Asia Pacific region, just to give you an idea of what's going on. Now, I've put this in about large request escalation because as there are a number of stakeholders, APNIC stakeholders in the room, this is a common question that I'm getting a lot now. Now, any request that is a slash 19 or larger, it's no longer evaluated by one person. So when a hostmaster like myself receives the request of a slash 19 or larger, I not only evaluate it, but my peer colleagues do as well. When a request gets to the size of a slash 17 or larger, it not only gets evaluated by myself, but then it also gets evaluated by my manager, the resource services manager. Now, with any type of requests that are slash 15 or larger, it's not only evaluated by myself, but it also gets evaluated by executive management. So you not only have to demonstrate your requirement, your address requirement to a hostmaster now, as you can see, for larger requests, there's a number of executive and management within APNIC that goes through them as well. So because we're going through, you would have noticed by the stats that APNIC, that Asia Pacific region, I mean, we take care of economies such as China, India, the requirements are quite large. So this process has been put into, has been made a procedure, so it's making sure that people's requests are being justified. My APNIC version 2, for those of you in the room who do use my APNIC, you may have noticed that last year we implemented version 2. So what happened previously, as Robert mentioned earlier on, for people to be able to access my APNIC, they had to apply for a certificate. Now the problem with this is we got a lot of feedback that it was very difficult, the procedure was quite hard. So we took all that feedback on board, and what you can do now is you no longer have to apply for a certificate, you can apply for access to my APNIC via a username and password. However, in some cases you will still need to apply for a certificate, such as for if you wanted to vote. So if you wanted stronger, you need stronger access rights for that. Now I'm not going to go into too much detail because Robert has covered this earlier on. So I'm going to skip the next part. Some other news that's been going on, we've been involved in some business continuity planning. So business planning for the next few years. We recently just had our member survey, 2009 survey. Now I really have to thank those of you in the New Zealand community who did participate. Our participation rate compared to previously was up 33%. Now these surveys are important because we base our future services based on the feedback that we receive from stakeholders in these surveys. You don't have to be a member to participate in these surveys, you can be a non-stakeholder as well. We're also going to have our KPMG fee structure survey. Now, the feedback from these two surveys are going to be Paul Wilson or one of the executive management will be going into detail at APNIC 27 with the results of these surveys. So if you're really interested, and not able to go, just feel free to view what's happening by the live transcripts. We've also been going into the EPA EcoBiz accreditation, along with we also have an IPV6 program under development. Now, for those of you who have been to previous NZNOGs, you may remember my colleague Miwa. She's really been working very hard in this area, and I'm going to go into details a bit more about that in the next few slides. Based on feedback that we have received also previously, we've been working very hard on the restructuring of our APNIC website. We've had a lot of feedback saying we've got a lot of information, it's very hard to find this information on our website. So this has been taken on board, and we're going to deploy our new public website very shortly this year. Along with our involvement in the ISIF program. Now, for those of you who are interested, please feel free to go to that URL to read about it a bit more. But basically, it's a grants program that is based on providing funding for ICT development within the Asia-Pacific region. Now, I'm going to go into, this is very much Miwa's domain, and this is what she's been working on. So, our role as APNIC, as an RIR, it's not to tell you what to do. It's basically based on the feedback that we've got from the community, our role is to just help you to educate you in this area. So this is what our position statement is. So what we're in the process of trying to do is provide support for you to be able to, like in IPv6, to be so that you in turn will be able to support your customers and provide services using IPv6 by 2010. As you all know, you've all heard the news, the prediction, they're only dates, but the prediction date is that IANA's free pool will be consumed by 2010. Along with giving you information on planning for this transition. So the APNIC community has basically asked APNIC to be more proactive in helping the stakeholders in this community deploy IPv6 and manage IPv4 exhaustion. So based on this feedback, we've been working hard to provide you more information in this area. We've also tried to be a source of objective information for all stakeholders in this region, not only for service providers, but to provide liaison and information to government, various technical organisations, etc. If for those of you who didn't go to APNIC 26, Miwa was appointed this role. In August last year. So if you wanted a bit more information about this area, or you wanted to provide feedback at all in this area, please don't hesitate to send Miwa an email. Now, objectives of her role is to provide data about IPv4 unallocated address space along with IPv6 transition, to monitor technical developments that are taking place within the region in this area, to research best current practices, along with disseminating reports of address and information requirements of each stakeholder within the Asia Pacific region. So some of the our IPv6 program activities that we've been working on, and we've been working on creating an IPv6 community wiki. Now this is along with the APNIC icons wiki that is currently in place, and it's going to be launched at APNIC 27. So for those of you that will be there and attending, you'll be able to see it. Or for those of you who cannot attend, you can see it remotely. And it's to help our community to share information with each other, and also a way of outreaching to multi-stakeholders. So, you know, not just policymakers, but regulators, content providers as well. So some of our outreach activities to non-communities are to basically urge, to recommend that you think about deploying IPv6 services and look at deploying these services and connectivity in future, because IPv4 space is not going to be around forever. Promote the use of dual stack use, along with making you aware that we do make also as well IPv6 multi-homing assignments for those that are content providers. And to be ready for this demand, because eventually your customers will want V6 connectivity. Now, I've gone through the IPv6 part. I know this is the part you all love, policy. Now, I know you all think, well, why do I have to know this stuff? Well, APNIC doesn't just implement these policies. It's based on feedback from you, the community. So some of the recent policies that have been implemented, now I talked about these three, you may remember last year. This was before they were actually implemented. So one of them was the minimum IPv4 allocation size was changed to a /22. I'm not going to go too much into that. The second one, there was an NIR operational policy document change. Again, I went more into detail about this last year. Now, the last one I will go into, because, again, this is a common question that I get. Now, as of 4th of August last year, the criteria was changed. So you may remember previously when you submitted an IPv6 request, you had to provide a plan of documenting that you will make 200 assignments. Now, this has been changed, and basically current LARs with existing IPv4 allocation from APNIC can justify an initial IPv6 allocation. So you'll notice you no longer have to provide that plan anymore to make 200 assignments. So there's no excuse, guys. The criteria is a lot more relaxed now. Some other policy changes that are going to be implemented soon is the global policy for allocation of remaining IPv4 space. This is where I talked about this last year, but this is where once the IANA free pool reaches a total of 5/8, IANA will automatically delegate 1/8 to each RIR. Now, this is what it means by pending global completion of global policy process. Now, yes, currently there's a global policy process which will take place. So after that has all been completed, then this policy will be implemented. I'm not going to go too much into that. I can if you want me to, but yeah, it's a long, quite a long drawn out process. The use of final/aid. This is where an LIR can receive a single minimum allocation from the final/aid. Now, also a /16 will be reserved from the /8 for future potential technologies. Now, bear in mind, even though this policy will be implemented in February, it actually won't kick in until we have final/8 worth of address space. So we haven't reached that point yet. Ensuring efficient use of historical IPv4 resources. Now, previously you may remember when you were submitting IPv4 address requests for more address space, it wasn't compulsory to actually outline how you'd utilise your historical address space. So now, with the implementation of this policy in February, you'll now be asked to also, not only with your current allocations from APNIC, but also outline how you've utilised your historical legacy address space in your address applications. Change of assignment policy for AS numbers. Now, you may actually remember James Spencer covered this yesterday. So from the 1st of July 2009, when you're submitting an AS request for a 2-byte AS number, you will need to provide documentation as to why you cannot use a 4-byte AS number. So currently at the moment, from the 1st of January this year, 4-byte AS numbers are default. So we actually assign 4-byte AS numbers by default. But once 1st of July hits this year, then you'll actually be asked to provide documentation as to why. Proposal 15. Now, there's three proposals that talk about address transfer. One of them is Proposal 50, Proposal 67, and Proposal 68. So I might just skip ahead to Proposal 60 first and cover the transfer proposals together. So Proposal 60 it doesn't really affect you guys too much, but it's a change in the criteria for recognition of new NIRs in the Asia Pacific region. So previously, when a new NIR was trying to start up, it required the government's endorsement to be able to start up NIR. However, in this proposal, it's actually trying to change that criteria. So they no longer need to have to provide that government endorsement. It will be put through a voting process instead to achieve support. Proposal 63 is reducing the IPv4 allocation time frame from 12 to 6 months. So what this means is we will know if this proposal is passed and consensus is reached, we will no longer be allocating on your 1-year requirement. We'll be allocating on your 6-month requirement instead. Okay, so going back to Proposal 50. Now, again, you may remember Jeff Houston talked about this policy last year. This is one that he's been working on. And it's basically improving or to add on to our historical transfer policy. It's about removing the restrictions of transferring IPv4 address space from one organisation to another. So in Jeff's proposal, he actually talks about, in this particular proposal, he talks about it must actually, in order for the transfer to take place, it must be an Ethernet administrative range. So it must be from a range that Ethernet manages, and a transfer can take place if it's a /24 or larger. And once the transfer has taken place, it's subject to Ethernet policies. So then what it means by subject to Ethernet policies is we'll be no longer classing it as historical, it will be classed as current address space by doing this. Proposal 67, it is called a simple transfer proposal policy. It's a much more, Jeff has kind of, what he's done is he's broken his two policies down. But this, to me, this proposal is much more simplified. So in order for transfers to take place, they must be transfers of /24s or the minimum allocation size after justification is provided. And they also talk, in this proposal, it also documents about transfers between regions as well. So you'll notice in 68, this is where it's an inter-RIR transfer policy. So this is Jeff's part of the policy where he's actually talks about the transfers between RIRs. Whereas the previous policy, it's all included in one policy proposal. It's all included in one. So with the inter-RIR transfer policy, it's, to give you an overview, it's a recognition and recording of address transfers between the RIRs or APNIC and our NIRs. So if you want more, I'm only going into an overview. I could go into much more detail, but then we would be here all day. So if you want to read more, please feel free to go and have a look at the website. Now, Proposal 69, it's a global policy for the allocation of IPv4 blocks to RIRs. So what this means is, you may remember we went through a process of recovery of historical address space. So that historical, some of that historical address space, say for example from the old former ERX space, it's at the moment it's just sitting there, but we can't actually use it. So under this policy proposal, it gives us a mechanism for the RIRs to retroallocate to these recovered IPv4 addresses to IANA, so to speak. And then IANA then has a policy to allocate it back to the RIRs based on their needs. So it gives us a framework of basically to use this unused historical address space. Proposal 70, maximum IPv4 allocation size. Now, this proposal is based that the maximum IPv4 APNIC allocation size will be based on the number of /8s that are in IANA's free pool. So at the moment, you can see there, the first part is 30/8 current. The maximum allocation size is the /8. Once there's, say, 25/8, then it will be decreased to a /9. Once there's 20, the maximum allocation size will be reduced to a /12. And I've only listed the last one there. Once there is 5/8, the maximum allocation size is a /18. Now, again, there's a bit more details to that proposal if you wanted to see all the different maximum allocation size. that has been outlined, please feel free to go and have a look. Now, there were a couple other policies that were discussed last year. For those of you that were at APNIC 26 in Christchurch or participated remotely, you may remember the discussion about these two. So it's Proposal 61. It talks about APNIC reserving 4-byte AS number blocks for documentation purposes. And Proposal 65, which goes into detail about APNIC adopting the AS plan format. So what has happened is both of these proposals have been actioned by IETF, and they're now published as RFCs. And we have been working hard in our software to actually adopt the AS plan format. And one of the areas that you can see the work we've done is we now have an ASN converter on our website, which will convert decimal to dot notation and vice versa. So if you wanted to see this converter, I've listed the URL there for you. All right. Now, I'm nearly near the end. Some APNIC meetings which are coming up, you would have heard about by now about APNIC 27. Which is in Manila this year. It's in conjunction with APRICOT. And if you're not able to attend, you can participate remotely. Along with the second half of the year, we'll have our standalone meeting, APNIC 28, which will be in Beijing, China, in September. So don't forget, I know I've told you this time and time again, but participate. You don't have to be there. You can contribute on the mailing list. I mean, these proposals, again, they're not just implemented by APNIC. They're implemented based on consensus from the whole internet community, and you're part of it. So, yeah, you can. Any questions you have, I'm sure you're all familiar with how to use chat in this room. You can participate on Jabber Chat. You can voice your questions that you have on JabberChat, and someone at the meeting will stand up and voice those questions for you. Okay, thank you.
Do we have any questions for Ellie?
Yep.
So I haven't bored you all to death.
The policy you got there on transferring things, I'm sorry I haven't read it in detail, but say I've got some historical allocations and I'm a APNIC non-member member, or whatever it's called. I'd love to be able to have someone take these networks off my hand for a small sum. So A, can I just transfer them to somebody else and get some money, assuming that policy goes through? Or B, would you buy them off me for a huge sum of money? I'm sorry, will you buy them off me for a small grant? Sorry.
He doesn't drink beer, that's the problem.
There'll be an option for the dress case later.
Well, as Jeff mentioned if you look at realistically, there are transfers taking place today. But these transfer policies give us a recognition, basically, a mechanism to work on. So if transfer takes place, we don't look at the money side, whatever party A pays to party B. It just gives you a mechanism to be able to work under, to be able to update the database. So the APNIC QoS database will then have a record of the actual current company that is managing this address space. So it gives us a mechanism to work under.
I think there's one thing that people should remember. Both policies, those policies, if you have read them, say if you do give this space up and then go back to APNIC within 2 years for more, the answer will be no. So be very careful what you wish for. If you give this away, sell it, do whatever you like, because you will not get more for a two-year period under either of these policies.
And let's not forget that there are estimates which say that there's not going to be any more within a two-year period, and that's primarily why that two-year period has been picked. That if you have some address space but you want to monetarise that address space, that's not an excuse to do that and then get some more and do that and get some more.
Perhaps, Ellie, you might be able to correct me if I'm wrong on this, but my last reading of those policies was that the recipient organisation must be a member of APNIC to receive the allocation. So there is no black market involved here. You actually have to do it out in the open. So, yeah.
Yeah, and that is very much the intent of the policies, isn't so much to regulate who can and who can't change them, but I'm just very much aware that what he wants is, if they do change hands, let's make sure that the record of the who is gets updated, because that's where the value is, and being able to trust that the who is database is right, not to be able to regulate the price of a /24 on any given day.
I saw the copyright people.
Exactly, exactly.
All right. I'd just like to say that after having been to a meeting in Christchurch, that it is absolutely essential that if people do feel strongly about this, participate and get on the chat, post on the mailing list, don't be scared of Randy. Because, I mean, it is, these things don't just get pushed through. If there are concerns, then those are taken into account and all that sort of stuff. So read the policies at least once. Have a scan, and if you've got any questions about it, then post into the mailing list or get someone who isn't scared of Randy to post into the mailing list. Someone like Johnny. Absolutely. Yeah, the other thing is, if you have a quick look at the proposals, a lot of people that write the proposals are in this meeting here today. So... One here, one there. So, it's a good opportunity to ask. Awesome, yeah, so, all good. All right, moving on.